Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with our friend Ray Allen. Ray producing and engineering our show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you on this Easter Monday. Yes, it is a holiday in some parts of the world. Over in Europe, it's a banking holiday, kind of extending that Easter weekend a little bit. It is Monday, March 28th. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, and we live stream our show so you can listen to the program anywhere in the world, KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. We'll get things rolling as we do each Monday afternoon with our Monday political face-off. Commentators John Munger. John is seated to the right of me, and Vince Ravago is seated to the left of me. And at 12:30 today, looking forward to talking about Arizona history with Arizona State historian Jack August will be joining me in studio. Jack came down from Phoenix. We appreciate that. Our Monday political face-off commentators John Munger and Vince Ravago. John is well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents. He's been very active in state and local politics in Arizona. He was 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor. Vince Ravago has been very active and still is in Democratic Party politics. Vince was former Arizona Attorney General candidate, again in 2010, and he is currently head of the Hispanic Caucus for the Democratic Party of Pima County. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by my friend Mo, Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing. I was over to see Mo and his family on Saturday. They're doing very well. Want to say hello to all of the people, and we want to thank Mo for his support, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lawn Dodge, and at mosgallery.com. Mo loves political dialogue, John and Vince, and we do.
Good.
He's the perfect sponsor for this half hour.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thanks to Mo.
Thank you, Mo. We thank Mo, and we also want to thank our friend Bob Westerman sent me a message on Facebook. He said, Bill, would you do a shout out to all those that made the Marana Veterans Cemetery a reality? They had a great dedication out there on Saturday.
Yeah, it was a great deal. I did some of the legal work on that. So.
Yep. Well, did you both have a great Easter? How about it?
Wonderful Easter.
Very, very wonderful
Glorious
Easter.
Day.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Good with all the family. We had a primary, and we had a lot of people kind of upset. They waited a long time, not so much here in Pima County, but they were the lines were long up in Maricopa County. The governor thinks it's high time that the presidential primary be open to independent voters. Where do you guys stand on that? John, first.
Well, I don't mind if the independents want to have a primary and vote as an independent. That's fine with me, but they shouldn't be voting in the Republican primary. If they want to vote in the Republican primary, I think they ought to be Republicans. And if they want to vote in the Democratic Party, I think they ought to vote Democratic in the Democratic primary. But if we want to have a primary for independents, that's fine with me.
What do you think, Vince?
You know, I have mixed feelings about this. You know, we want more participation. I know the Democratic Party in the past has said, let's open it up. To that, but I also understand John's point with respect to these are parties, so to speak, and so you are picking a nominee to represent a particular party, and so the issue, the tough question there is, well, should somebody who is not a member of that organization have a right to say who should lead that organization or who should be the representative candidate? So I understand the issue there. What's interesting to me with respect to, you know, Governor Ducey coming out and saying this, you know, the reality is to me, it's a transparent attempt to avoid the finger getting pointed in his direction.
So you say it's kind of a phony attempt.
I do, because here's what happened. It was Governor Ducey who signed the budget that cut over $8 million to hold the presidential primary that the county recorders were supposed to get. So he cut their budget. He signed a budget that cut the state's funds to the local county recorders. Now, that's not to say that the county of Maricopa didn't, Pelham Purcell didn't make a huge mistake and reduce all those polling places. Like I don't know how many they reduced it by. It was astronomical.
Dozens.
No, it was over maybe, like 100 and something. Yeah, it was huge number, right. Down to like 60 places for Maricopa County.
Yeah, that was a huge mistake. Nobody should have to stand in line as long as people did from all over the state. And the governor has acknowledged that was a mistake, and it shouldn't ever happen again.
200. They had 200, John. Ray just put this up on my screen. They had 200, and it was cut to 60.
60 polling places. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not right. People who are coming out to vote shouldn't have to wait that long. And I agree. It was a huge mistake, and it shouldn't ever happen again. I want to go back to what Vince is saying. People don't understand that the parties are electing their leadership, and as such, in a primary, and they're electing their candidates or nominating their candidates. I don't see why people who are not members of the party should be involved in that. I have no problem if independents ought to be able to speak their piece, and there ought to be a primary for independents, and they can vote however they want to vote. That's fine with me.
And from a political perspective, back to what I was saying, what happened initially was Helen Purcell got up on TV after this fiasco. The day before the fiasco, she was on TV up in, I forget which news channel, in Phoenix, and she was there with Secretary of State Michelle Reagan. And Secretary of State Reagan commended Helen Purcell and says, I think the county recorder here in Maricopa, has done an amazing job. This was the night before the election. And then, guess what? Secretary of State Reagan goes on to say and appears to justify the reduction in these polling places, saying we're reducing them because then people can just all go vote in anywhere at one of these new locations, you know. And so she's saying almost like the old thing that happened with George Bush's secretary with regard to FEMA, you know, heck of a job, Brownie. Remember that? It was sort of like a heck of a job in advance to Helen Purcell, but then also justifying the reduced number of polls.
It wasn't right.
It was a fiasco.
We need to move forward. I agree it was a fiasco. I think everybody agrees, and we just need to make sure it never happens again.
But what I was trying to explain is that initially then the next day, the county recorder up there in Maricopa got on TV, and the first thing out of her mouth was she blamed the voters for coming to the polls.
That's crazy.
And she blamed the voters, and then she said, when the reporter started questioning that, she says, no, well, you know, I'm happy they're voting, but we also had an issue with independents trying to vote for the party, the preference, which later turned out to be not the reason. The reason was this reduction, huge astronomical reduction in polls. So then in response, when people were floating this idea that really it was just a problem with independents trying to vote when they shouldn't have been, when that wasn't really the true reason as to this fiasco, then you see the governor come out saying, I think independents should be allowed to vote. Well, you know what? It really wasn't the reason was a reduction in these polls, but the reason for that, they claimed, was this budget that Ducey signed, which refused to give the money to the county recorders.
All right, Jim is with us, 790-2040. Mr. Jim Kelly. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Bill. It's Vince and John. Good to talk to you both.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
In just this legislature and in past legislatures, there has been bills proposed to take the Republican Party to a caucus system that we pay for ourselves, as opposed to this presidential preference election for both the Democrats and the Republicans is paid for by the entire state. So, and it's always shot down. And no matter what, this problem of what do we do with independence is going to have to be handled legislatively and constitutionally, because right now it doesn't match the overwhelming, almost over a third of the voters who are party not designated. Now, part of the problem in Maricopa County is that I do believe is that the voters up there are not using the mail-in ballot like they should be, and just mailing in their ballots. But that's just my opinion.
Well, Jim, so, I agree. It would make it easier if they did. I didn't have to stand in line because I mailed in the early ballot. But I'm still sympathetic with those people, and I am not for the caucus system. To me, the caucus system is unrealistic in that it requires voters. A lot of people don't understand that a caucus requires people not just to vote, but to sit around in a meeting at night after dinner. And a lot of people just don't want to do that.
It's a time-consuming.
It's a time-consuming, effort-intensive deal. And I think, and it's not connected with who's going to show up at the polls on election day. So I'm in favor of a standard primary like we've had. But I do think that we ought to have a primary where independents can vote.
The other thing I'd add to this, Jim, he pointed out that the numbers aren't reflective of this PND, party not declared, that's leading in terms of demographic numbers, then the Republican registered voters, and then Democratic in terms of the amounts. But what really has been startling, and it is what has been coming to light, and some of the reporting I think was done actually down here by the Tucson Sentinel, maybe it's been done elsewhere. But one of the issues that has been brought to light by this big fiasco, and some of the issues that were experienced more down here, or at least reported on, was that the MVD process and the paperwork apparently is confusing when you go to make any minor change, like let's say your address and you go into the DMV, that they either online as well as the forms are confusing for people. So we had scores of voters that have filed complaints that their registration was unwillingly changed. And it could have gone from, I know certainly there were Democrats that were changed to independent, but it could have gone either way. Hmm. And there may have been examples. And so there's a major problem that now they're having to investigate with people who were registered, have been lifelong members of either party, and suddenly they go to vote and they're registered as party not declared and they can't vote.
What a mess.
So I don't know how many, we have these numbers that have been growing and growing with people becoming independents. I'm not sure. It may be actually not that these people are choosing to become quote unquote
non-party.
There may be this confusing forms and this electronic process which needs to be investigated.
Well, I agree if that's a problem. I hadn't heard of that one, but if it is a problem, it needs to be investigated. But at all costs, independents and non-declared party people need to be allowed to vote. And there's nothing wrong with having them come into the voting pool and say, okay, I'm voting on this ballot. And they should be able to vote for all the candidates out there.
All right.
I see nothing wrong with that.
All right, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the face-off. We're going to take our first break of this Monday Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Framing and Fine Gallery, Fort Lowell and Dodge, conveniently located central location in town. And, of course, they're on Facebook and moesgallery.com. Vince Robigo and John Munger are commentators today on the Monday Political Face-Off. I want to read from the Jonah Goldberg column that appeared in The Star a couple of days ago. Just read these the first paragraph of his column, Vince and John. Nominating Donald Trump will wreck the Republican Party as we know it. Not nominating Trump will wreck the Republican Party as we know it. The sooner everyone recognizes that fact, the better.
Well, you know, Jonah Goldberg needs to get real. The Republican Party, this may change the Republican Party as we know it. But the establishment within the Republican Party has been saying for years, we're a big tent party. We need to broaden the base of the party. Donald Trump is broadening the base of the party. Everybody knows that. And yet these people are against him. Vince has correctly said many times that there's this electoral favorite. The Democrats have an electoral advantage. They have 247 votes, in electoral votes by states that just consistently vote Democrat. We can't just concede that to them when you need 272 votes. And the only way to do that is broaden the base of the party, and Donald Trump is doing that. So I just disagree with what Goldberg is saying. The Republican Party needs reform. The Democratic Party needs reform, but they're not going to do it. But the Republican Party, I'm very excited about the reform that's happening and the discussions within the party. It's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Would you go so far to say without Trump doing this, the Republican Party would have been in huge trouble?
Huge trouble.
Vince?
You know, like I say, I'm not a member of the Republican Party, and so I'm looking at this from an observer. I had not read that column. Mm-hmm. I think it's a fascinating point of view. I have to disagree with John because at least insofar as what he's saying that Trump is broadening the party, he may be broadening one aspect of xenophobes and people coming out of the woodwork.
Get off it, Vince.
But at the same time, he is casting aspersions and essentially destroying the Republican Party with respect to the Hispanic or Latino population, issues also with other minority communities. Then you have the issue with just generalizing Muslims as opposed to extreme terrorists.
Now you're getting into his platform.
He's not broadening the base. Mm-hmm. He's actually, if you have all of these Republicans that are coming out saying, you know, we don't like what he's doing, he's narrowing their own base, but broadening it in bad ways for America.
Well,
broadening it to catering.
That's your opinion.
That is my opinion. That's why I'm on the other side of the aisle here, John. That's my job, to sit here and give my opinion in response to whatever you're saying.
The key is that Donald Trump is broadening the base of the party in ways that a larger group of people support. And that larger group of people need to be heard. It is my view that the reason so many people don't vote, we only had 58% turnout at the last presidential election. The reason so people don't vote is they're tired of the two parties. They're tired of the establishment of both parties. Both parties need to reform and broaden their base, and Donald Trump is doing that. I wish the Democrats would do that too, but they're not going to. But Donald Trump is voicing the concerns of a lot of people. Vince may not agree with those concerns. That's his right.
You don't have to rely just on me. You can rely on all of these Republican leaders across the country. And it's not just ethnic groups like Mexican Americans that are or Hispanics, but look at the attacks and the misogynistic comments he's made against women.
Vince.
Now you tell me if attacking women,
that's your opinion,
commenting
that's
on their appearance in a way that is demeaning, is presidential, and is someone who's going to draw the support of women in the general election, then you're barking up the wrong tree, because he is alienating women, and that's just going to come out more and more when it comes general election
time.
My wife
isn't alienated. She loves Donald Trump, and there's a lot of women I've spoken to who love Donald Trump. And your view, your personal view, that Donald Trump is somehow a misogynist and a racist and everything else.
I said misogynistic comments.
And your opinion, you're entitled to that.
I'm not the only one making them, John. That's all over the world, all over the press, all over the point.
If he's going to have more voters turn out to the polls because the voters like what he's saying, those voters need to be heard. And the Republican Party, if it truly wants to be a big tent party, should be welcoming those people and the voice that brings those people in.
But he's not doing that.
Yes, he is attacking groups. No, he is attacking.
Now you're talking about who he's attacking.
I'm talking about bringing in new voters.
Well, there's a difference.
But he's driving away others and attacking them.
Well, he's bad for America.
Fine, there may be a realignment of the parties, but people need to be heard.
All right, let's go to the live line. Richard would like to weigh in on the conversation. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Bill. Thank you. Mm-hmm. In 1950, Woody Guthrie, the great Oklahoman, my home state, by the way, is Oklahoma, rented from Frederick Trump an apartment in New York. Woody Guthrie actually wrote a song about Frederick Trump, Donald Trump's dad, accusing him of race baiting and being a racial divider. It looks to me like the apple don't fall far from the tree here, boys.
Well, look, you can say a lot of thing about what happened, a lot of things about what happened in 1940 or 1950. That's irrelevant to me. What somebody's father said is irrelevant to me. I don't care what Vince's father said or Bill's father said or your father said. Those were different times. And so if you want to jump to those conclusions, that's fine with me, but that's illogical and unfair. You need to take people on their merits. We are not an aristocracy here where you have to live and die by what your father said. We stand on the merits of what we do and what we say. And the fact of the matter is that Donald Trump is saying things that's very attractive to a lot of people, and they agree with him, and they are turning out to vote in droves.
Well, you know, you don't have to look that far back in history. I appreciate the historical comment, And it's interesting, so you'll have the historian come on right after
yes,
us.
Yes,
I happen to happen to know Jack August. He's a great historian.
Looking forward to it.
But when you know you can look at those historical comments or the fact that Frederick Trump was also arrested with Klansmen who were fighting fascists way back when in New York. It's true statement. But we don't have to go there. Was what I'm saying. What if you look at what Donald Trump said, for example, when given three opportunities to disavow support from organizations from like the KKK on national television,
he did not six times,
and he tries to speak out of both sides of his mouth so he can attract those voters.
You're playing gotcha politics.
Hey, he's trying to play gotcha politics by trying to say, oh, I can say this, and I think I can get away with it because I'm attracting all these supporters. So hey, he's to blame for his own racially charged rhetoric.
We're talking about whether or not Donald Trump is broadening the base of the party. He's bringing out all kinds of new voters, both new Republicans, independents, and in the South Carolina primary, up to 25% of the Democrats crossed over and voted in the Republican primary for Donald Trump.
All right. We're going to leave it right there. John Munger and Vince Robigo. John and Vince, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hope you guys have a great week. Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985. Check out Moe, and they will take care of you with great framing, and they'll do all your mirrors. They'll even come out and hang everything for you, which is wonderful. So Moe's Gallery, moesgallery.com. Check it out. Thank you, Moe. We'll be right back.
Catman and Superdog want you to be a superhero for homeless pets for Arizona Gives Day. Make your donation to the Humane Society of Southern Arizona at hssaz.org/azgives and help us fight the evils of pet abandonment and animal cruelty. Arizona Gives Day is April 5th. Donate now at hssaz.org/azgives.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. You know, I've written 36 books. One of my best, I think, is Have a New Kid by Friday. Hit the New York Times bestseller list. Maybe you'd like a new home by Friday. Maybe you're driven up the wall by bugs and the pests that Tucson, Arizona has. Hey, do yourself a favor. Call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 5-Star Termite and Pest Control.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This new year opens up a world of possibilities. So how about making your vacation dreams a reality? For more than 40 years, Bon Voyage Travel has advised our clients on virtually every detail of their travel planning. Whether it's a luxury cruise, African safari, romantic beach getaway, or perhaps a journey off the beaten path, we work hard to make the most out of your investment. So all you have to do is just pack your bags. To get started, call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday as we talk with former Secretary of State and now congressional candidate Ken Bennett, plus a new group in town called TUSD for Kids. Buckmaster live noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We've got live streaming, podcasts, and our complete show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over at Green Things. Jan and Jack, the owners over there, they've taken the 4 acres just off of River, and they have expanded now to 13 acres. They've got 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. I buy all of my flowers there. The roses that I have purchased from Green Things, just, they love it. They love it at the Buckmaster household. And why wouldn't they love it? Because they were raised at Green Things. So, I mean, they're locally owned. $29.95 for a 5-gallon pot of wonderful roses just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. And also, quickly, another shout-out to one of our fine charter sponsors, Vero Mori Restaurant at Plaza Palomino and out at Dove Mountain. They've been with us here on the Buckmaster Show since day one, over 5 years ago. And this year, Vero Mori turning 10. Check it out. The whole month of March, the original menu, that means original pricing from 10 years ago. So you can't beat that. All right. Secretary of State Michelle Reagan announcing last month, appointing historian Dr. Jack L. August Jr. to lead philanthropy and institutional advancement for the Arizona Capitol Museum. Dr. August has just a very impressive resume, to say the least. He was a Pulitzer Prize nominee in history. He's published several very popular books, including Adversity is My Angel, The Life and Career of Raul H. Castro. Another one of Dr. August's books, Vision in the Desert, Carl Hayden, and the Hydropolitics in the American Southwest. And Senator DeConcini, a biography of Senator DeConcini. That book, Senator Dennis DeConcini, From the Center of the Aisle. Dr. August is a former executive director at the Arizona Historical Foundation at ASU. He's a Fulbright Scholar, a National Endowment for the Humanities Research Fellow. He's also an expert on water resources in Arizona. Dr. August serves as an expert witness and consultant for cities, utilities, and private companies in relations to water rights and water delivery systems throughout the state. Dr. August, Jack, good to see you.
Great to be back with you. It's been a while, but I'm still around.
You are still around and going strong. And this new job with the Arizona Capitol Museum, for people that don't know about the AZCM, it is a branch of the Arizona State Library.
Yes, it's part of the Department of Library, Archives, and Public Records. And since that press release, the word historian, Arizona used to have a state historian, and they've injected that into the new mix, and we're going to see if we can synthesize that title a little bit. But yes, and we have some exciting things going on there. It's really a delight. I feel like I'm giving back a little bit, and that is a wonderful structure. It symbolizes our state, and I'm glad to be here because that capital is for people in Tucson, Bisbee, the Navajo Nation, Kingman. I don't care where you are. It's for all of us.
What are some of the more interesting things we would see if we visit the Arizona State Museum?
Well, certainly the USS Arizona exhibit and the T-set. We have incredible original art, Lon McGargy, David Swing, some great Arizona-based and Southwestern artists, quilts, Edward S. Curtis photographs. It goes on and on. We have 8,500 three-dimensional objects. We can only show a small percentage at a time, but we're trying to reach out to the Arizona Historical Society down here and other institutions to share our collections, and we'd love to show some of those if we have traveling exhibits. So,
are you saying there are 8,500 pieces that are in the archives?
That are
and
in the archives.
Of course, obviously, yeah. You can't display everything in a very limited space, but you have really, it sounds like a historic cellar.
Yeah, we sure do.
Loaded with really wonderful pieces.
Yes, and we have...
How far back do they go to territorial days?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Territorial days. And then we have some Native American basketry and pottery and artwork, and those are very, very rare. Over in the archival side, which I help with, and we're in about a couple months, I want to be back down here to announce a very big development that is of statewide importance. I can't do it now.
Okay.
But we have like the governor's papers. Every governor, his papers are there. We've discovered some great interplay between our first state governor, George W. P. Hunt, and his wife. And just as a little tidbit, they argued and wrote letters back and forth about women's suffrage. And guess who was for it? He was for it, and she was against it.
Oh, my goodness.
It's kind of crazy, but that's it's wonderful.
And so people worry about parking and the access. What do they need to do to get to see the AZCM?
Well, it's great. It's parking is – everyone down here in Tucson and southern Arizona, parking is very easy because of the parking lot right in front of the state capitol. And whenever news reporters or if you're watching TV or on Facebook, when they report on the legislature, they always show a picture of our old 1901 building, and that's where my office is, and it's so cool. And I get to use Bruce Babbitt's desk and have original art. The Secretary of State wisely has decided to make the office, my office, an extension of the museum. And I think that's a really wise idea, and I really love it. So, and by the way, Secretary of State Reagan has Raul Castro's desk.
Wow.
So so some of the stuff is really being put to use, and we're being very careful, of course.
The Capitol was constructed then when? When did the actual construction begin? And was there quite a bit of disagreement, Jack August, about the way the Arizona Capitol should look?
Very. That's a great question, and I was working on it this Saturday for other purposes, but it was built between 1898 and 1901, and it was designed by a guy named J. Riley Gordon. And these state capitals throughout the country are kind of mini U.S. capitals, there was a lot of competition, and his first submission was this grandiose piece a blueprint that he presented for Mississippi, and what was funny was the people in Arizona said, that's too grandiose, and the people in Mississippi said, that's not grandiose enough for us. So he kind of scaled it down, and we had what is a modest, and I think today a very accessible Arizona Capitol Museum. And we use the space, we use the old Senate building, Senate chamber, and the House of Representative chamber, and we have I think last year 85,000 visitors, and we're moving well beyond that this year. And kids from 4th grade and 7th grade and 11th grade; those are big ones. But we're getting more adults, and we're getting more speaker series and all of that.
When did it start to be taken seriously? And was that going on at the time of when this this Capitol building was constructed?
Yes. Well, the Capitol was the territorial capital. We become a state in 1912, and I think that's probably a good window of when serious discussion with both New Mexico and Arizona. There was one point in 1905 when they tried to move us together. We were going to be called the Great State of Montezuma and get rid of the New Mexico and Arizona labels. But
and the capital would have been Santa Fe.
It would have been in Santa Fe. And so the people in Arizona, for a variety of cultural, political reasons, Arizona's side voted it down. New Mexico voted for it. But Arizona won that plebiscite. So,
going back, you're an expert in water, and I was thinking one of the question, a real bottom line question for you would be, what do you consider to be the seminal moment, certainly of the of the 20th century in Arizona history? What would you point to,
Bill? Yeah, let me rank them 1, 2, and 3.
Please do.
I think number one would be the passage of what's called the Newlands Reclamation Act of 1902. Had President McKinley unfortunately not been assassinated, the guy in the White House that the Republican establishment was trying to hide, Theodore Roosevelt, would not have become president. And so it was through working with Newlands, who was a Nevadan, and the House and later the Senate, we passed that bill, and that allowed us to use the sale, the revenues from the sale of public land to develop storage dams, hydroelectric power generation, and that was the first big game changer. And of course, at about the time of statehood, Roosevelt comes out, dedicates the dam, and so that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I think, is the Salt River Project in central Arizona, and I know it's not Tucson related, mm-hmm. but I think that changed from a kind of a subsistence civilization to an agricultural empire, our first kind of iteration, our first big economic development. And probably the third one would be the Central Arizona Project.
All three of your top three are water related.
Water related. And that really changes our economy. It affects the statewide Tucson, even though we had some trouble at first with the quality of the water. We've, I think, in 10, 15 years worked out those issues. But we would not be the state we were or are. All that water could have gone to California. There were a couple of the longest Supreme Court cases is the subject of my book in American history. One of my books called Dividing Western Waters, and it's about Arizona versus California. Essentially, Little David, Big David lost, that's California, lost to Little Goliath, David and Goliath story.
Right.
Arizona won, and the behemoth lost, and that water, instead of going to Southern California, is now coming to Phoenix, Tucson, and the agricultural stretches in between.
All right, we'll talk more with historian Dr. Jack L. August, Jr. as we continue. And my first question will pick up on this water, and it will be, again, a bottom-line question. Is water going to be the big issue of the 21st century here in the Grand Canyon State? That's when we continue with Dr. Jack L. August, Jr. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
You're invited to the 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards on May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. We'll be announcing the winners of this year's awards in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. Our keynote speaker is Congresswoman Martha McSally. Join us as we celebrate Tucson's business community. It is the business event of the year. Register now at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of the Buckmaster Show listeners over there. It's only 3 hours. It is a beautiful corner of the southwestern United States, that southwest area of Silver City. The history over there, it's tremendous. If you like the Mimbres pottery, Western New Mexico University has really the finest collection of Mimbres pottery. They're on display right at the university there in Silver City. Anywhere in the world, you will not believe it. It's worth the road trip to Silver City, and there are great places to stay like Bear Mountain Lodge and Agave Ridge Retreat. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Thank you to all of my friends over in Grant County and Silver City, New Mexico. Dr. Jack L. August Jr. is with us. Dr. August is now leading philanthropy and institutional advancement for the Arizona State Capitol. He has many books to his credit. I won't list them all again. I listed them at the beginning, Jack, of the interview, but you've been a busy person with Arizona history for many years. We were talking about your top three seminal moments of Arizona history before the break. All of them pertain to water. Bottom line question, are we running out of water? Will it be the big issue of the 21st century?
Well, the answer is let me answer your second one first, your second question first. Yes, that any public policy discussion or any elected official or anyone that works in any of the agencies related to water and power, conservation, and preservation of that natural resource, that is tremendous. And everyone that we elect should be, I'm not trying to be political here, but they should be conversant and literate on. They don't have to be hydrologists. They don't need to be historians or lawyers. But we have many people that are in that field, but at least be conversant and understand it. Tucson does water better than Phoenix. That's a generalization. And Arizona does water better than California now. We have learned
and
through
Nevada,
adversity.
Right?
And Nevada. Yeah, we do. I'm bragging on Arizona. We have to reallocate We have to continue with the Reclaimed Water initiative that has started maybe 10, 15 years ago. We still have to tweak how we handle residential development. There's something called CAGRID, which I think is controversial. We're going to have to revise it. We have to continue updating what we do. Are we going to run out of water? No, not in our lifetimes. And I'm optimistic about Arizona. I'm pessimistic about how California and the various entrenched interests there are going to handle the adversity they've already experienced and have already tried to dig out of. Now, we may have a shortage on the river, but we have ways to address shortages on the river. And I think people have thought, the experts have thought, maybe by 2017 we may have to scrimp a little bit. And Arizona, unfortunately, in order to get the Central Arizona Project bill passed, was the first one that had to give something away. And so we suffer shortages first, but I think we can avoid it, at least in the near term.
All right, let's talk politics. Not that water isn't politics, yes, because it certainly is. I want to talk about Barry Goldwater. When Senator Goldwater was the presidential nominee in 1964, he was highly controversial, and he took a huge beating in the national election. It was something like 60-40, the final vote on Goldwater. A lot of folks are comparing Donald Trump, saying he would take a similar beating. If Goldwater were alive today, would he be a moderate?
He would be much, yes. He would be, I think, considered a moderate, as would someone like, former Governor Fife Symington. And I happen to be writing a biography of Fife Symington. And he's been quite forthcoming and candid, articulate guy, went through literally hell with issues that happened, and he was forced to resign. But I think he would be much more moderate and have a hard time getting the nomination today than he would. But there seems to be there's a different circumstance here today. It looks like there's some fracturing of the party, and I don't know what's going to happen. The election of 2016, I spoke on another program last week about this. You can't tell the future. Historians cannot tell the future, but we can look at the election of 1964, the one you referenced,
yes,
in which Goldwater won the South and barely won Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
The next one, the next election, 68, George Wallace, mm-hmm, won all the South. We had a third-party candidate.
Yes.
This could happen again.
Mm-hmm.
The election of 1912 is another one where a third party emerged, and if Theodore Roosevelt couldn't win, no one can win. He won 88 electoral votes. Taft, the incumbent, only won 8. In fact, Arizona, Eugene V. Debs beat. He finished third in line after Taft finished fourth, Roosevelt second, and Woodrow Wilson first. We could even have an election like 1824, which went into the House of Representatives. And the guy that finished second with only 30% of the popular vote and similarly of the electoral vote ended up winning through the corrupt bargain. So John Quincy Adams won because of how that the Constitution read at the time, and we went to the House of Representatives. Will it happen this time? I'm doubtful, but it could.
Senator DeConcini was a guy who played, he was, in the title of your biography, from,
yes,
the center of the aisle. He's a guy that could handle both sides of the aisle. I wonder if a guy like that could even be elected these days.
Boy, it's he was one of the last, and he, mm-hmm, was such a popular, I don't think people know the kind of personal magnetism that he had. Sometimes I don't think it translated to television.
He would walk into a room.
Yes.
I know Senator DeConcini, as you do very well,
yes,
Jack, and I've been at events like over at the Arizona Inn. He'll walk into a room, and he's still going. He's 77 years old.
Yeah.
But he will go into a room, and he lights up a room.
I've nothing like it, where some of the other people that are maybe perhaps more telegenic, more what I call celebrity politicians, in person, they don't come off like Senator DeConcini. How did a Tucson Democrat win, mm-hmm, Arizona in 76 and through the 80s? It's a remarkable feat, and just even that in and of itself, given Arizona's political hue, was amazing then and would be amazing today.
I've only got 30 seconds,
okay,
but when did Arizona become the red state? What was kind of the turning point in that?
I think probably the 1970s, and I think the first symbol, the first shot was Barry Goldwater upsetting Ernest McFarland in 1952. If we want to go back 2 years, when Governor the Democrats lost the governorship to Howard Pyle. That was the first indication, and then Goldwater, and from that point. So we've had about 70 years of Republican hegemony in Arizona.
All right. We certainly enjoy speaking with Dr. Jack L. August, Jr. We could spend even longer with you, but we are governed by time, unfortunately. And we do want to recommend everybody go up to the Arizona Capitol Museum. It's open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturday.
Sure. Absolutely.
10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Admission and parking is free.
Free.
Sounds like you're doing a great job up there, Jack, and we will have you back and keep the invitation open for you to come back to see us here in Tucson.
Fabulous. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks very much. Jack L. August, Jr., always a great interview. All right. We do 5 hours of local talk, more than any other Tucson station. We start tomorrow morning from 6 to 9. We've got Wake Up Tucson for the first 2 hours, then the Daily Double from 8 to 9, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with my fine young producer, engineer, Ray Allen will be with me, and Ray will be back this afternoon for 4 Tucson at 4, another one of our great local shows, 4 to 5 in the afternoon. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening.